What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a big trade rumor that has kind of shaken up the last couple hours of free agency and what's been a pretty dead period. Anthony Slater of The Athletic reported that the Wizards are apparently one of the teams in the mix for 22-year-old forward Jonathan Kuminga. I'm going to break it down. Obviously, not an expected addition to the pool. You know, obviously, teams like the Bulls and the Nets and some others like the Kings in recent days had kind of emerged as some teams, you know, interested in Kuminga. And, you know, Anthony's report late on Thursday night into Friday night was kind of the first mention that we had heard of the Wizards. And obviously nothing, you know, has come from it just yet by the time I'm recording this. But I thought it would be an interesting / fun pod to kind of break down what the framework of a potential Jonathan Kuminga trade could look like should the Wizards, you know, bite the bullet and make a pretty bold move to bring Kuminga over to Washington. Now I believe that Kuminga is a restricted free agent. However, the Golden State Warriors have been, you know, in ongoing discussions with the 22-year-old forward. Still has a lot of potential, right? But it's been reported that Kuminga's, you know, wants a deal that's you know, upwards of $30 million per season, which sounds pretty rich. I mean, if you look at his stats for the 24-25 season, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 45% from the field, 30% from 3, 67% from the line. You know, nothing that's like eye-popping, but again, in the minutes he played and the role he had on Golden State, you know, those are pretty solid numbers. Now, I don't know if they are $30 million per season numbers. You know, I would say no, but the $30 million would probably be based on, you know, maybe the potential that a guy like Kuminga has, you know, in a system like Washington where he would have more minutes to kind of, you know, blossom. He's a guy that can get downhill and attack the rim. He's a guy that didn't shoot the three ball well, but had spurts, you know, at times where he was able to make, you know, defenses pay when they left him open from the 3-point line, but more of a downhill player that uses his athleticism to get to the rim and finish around the rim, uses his speed to you know, use that quick first step to get by defenders and get that edge to get to the rim. Certainly an intriguing prospect, top 10 pick just a couple years ago, still only 22 years old, played very well in the playoffs, especially in that Minnesota series. Over the last three games of that series, averaged 26 points per game, had a game on the road, or I believe it was the home, one of the home games they lost, but he had 30 points, you know, really stepped up when Steph was out. So certainly a player that has game, you know, certainly a player with high upside, still at just 22 years old. So it would, you know, be dependent on, you know, does Washington buy into that and buy into it enough to, you know, work with Golden State on sign and trade to where they're paying Kuminga, you know, $25-30 million per season. You know, that's obviously a big risk, but they've opened up that cap space with trading Jordan Poole. So maybe, you know, Washington can you know, look at like a three-year $90 million deal. Maybe they do 4 years, 120, but that seems pretty rich for a guy like Kuminga. And I should get into the reporting first. This is from Anthony Slater of The Athletic. He put in a story, quote, "The Washington Wizards entered the mix in the last 24 hours, and the idea of Kuminga as a possible fit in Washington's rebuild has gained real momentum, according to league sources," end quote. So pretty significant development there. Anthony's basically reporting that, you know, over the last 24 hours, the Wizards have, I'm sure, discussed some framework of a trade with Kuminga, maybe just gauged the interest of the Warriors and kind of saw what the asking price would be in a potential Kuminga trade. Anthony also has reported previously in regards, I guess, to the Kings. You know, the Kings offered some package, you know, around, I believe it was Devin Carter and a first-round pick, something of that nature, and it was shut down by Golden State. It's been reported by Anthony that the Warriors want, you know, a future first-round pick plus a young, promising talent, you know, a young player. You know, the Wizards certainly have a plethora of picks. They have their own, you know, the top 8 protected next year. Can't trade certain ones, but they have pretty much all of their own. They have a lot of swaps. And they also have three future first-round picks via other teams. They have the 2026 first-round pick. They got the Reggie Jackson trade last year, which I believe is the worst of OKC, Houston, and the Clippers. So it's going to be a late first next year. So they have that they could trade. They also have a 2029 Portland first round pick from the Denny Avdia trade. And then they also have a 2030 top 20 protected Golden State pick, which you should definitely keep in mind, because that's definitely an asset they can dangle as a future piece to the Warriors, saying, hey, we can give you this pick back. The Wizards event, got it from the Chris Paul trade, taking back Jordan Poole in that contract. So it's possible that the Wizards say, hey, here's this piece, you can get your rights to that pick back. And that way Golden State has some more assets they can trade if they're looking to make even more moves around the deadline to kind of, try to make the most of these final years with Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler. So certainly intriguing with the assets the Wizards have. Certainly, I think can outbid a team like Sacramento, can outbid a team like Chicago. The Nets have a lot to offer, a lot of assets, a lot of young players, but I still like the Wizards' odds there. It seems like the Warriors are kind of at a crossroads. Like, I don't know if they can really bring Kuminga back. So there's certainly some juice to these rumors, certainly some intrigue to them. So I wanted to record probably a quicker pod, but just kind of address it. And I have three different trades that I quickly went into Fanspo and quickly cooked up some trade ideas. And forgive me if the volume's not great. It's currently 1 a.m. here. I'm trying not to wake my parents up by recording this pod. So apologies if it's a little silent. Hopefully the mic picks up some of the volume and audio. But I'm going to put on the screen a couple of trades here. And just to go over some of the assets the Wizards have. I mentioned the future first, the three additional ones that they have from other teams, including that Golden State pick in 2030 that I think would be a huge trade chip here. But if you are just looking at, assets in regards to players, they have Marcus Smart, expiring $21.5 million contract. Corey Kispert starts a four-year deal that's getting, paying him around $13 million per season. Pretty good contract, not coming off a great year. But again, shooters in Golden State seem to have career seasons. So, that could be a piece that they like to, add more spacing. I don't know if Kelly Olynyk will be trade eligible. I think it might be 2 months until they can trade him, but that trade also hasn't become official yet. So maybe they decide to work it in as a three-team trade in some way with the McCollum Pool Pelicans trade. That's maybe another piece they have. And they have a bunch of young talent. Clearly it's been reported that the Warriors want some young pieces back in the trade. The Wizards have a bunch of young pieces, Dylan Jones, AJ Johnson. They just got Dylan Jones. Maybe they reroute him. AJ Johnson's another piece that they can move. I doubt they move, Keyshawn, Bubs, Sarr, Bilal. Like, that wouldn't make sense. Maybe Tristan Vukcevic resigns and they send him. I'm not sure, but they definitely have the assets. So I'm going to break down three different trade ideas that I could see happening. And again, this is not a foregone conclusion. Like, it has literally not even been 2 hours by the time I'm recording this that these reports have been out, that the Wizards have been, a possible suitor for Kuminga. But again, this is a fun pod. It's a fun episode. So I'm going to go and break down these three deals right now. If you're watching on YouTube, which if you're not, and you want to see the visuals, come over here, hit the subscribe button while you're at it. We're coming up on 400 subscribers, so appreciate the support. But I'm going to share my screen on YouTube, so YouTube will be able to see it. But if you're just one of the viewers that is just listening, I'll be able to articulate and explain it enough so that you understand the full framework of the trade. So I'm going to go here and share my screen. And this is how it should look. The first move, and I should note, the contract for Kuminga varies on a few of these deals. Actually, that's not the trade that I wanted first. I'm going to go to this one first. The contract varies. So I would assume for most of these, like the Marcus Smart I have on the screen right now, that the Wizards would sign Kuminga to a deal around, 3 years, $90 million, or maybe 4 years, $120 million. But just considering maybe they decide to give him the $30 million per year that he so covets. And they can structure it differently. And I'll explain in each trade, but that's the general framework of a contract, obviously, to make certain deals work. So the first one I have up on the screen here is Jonathan Kuminga to the Wizards on a 4 year deal that pays him roughly $119 million. And in exchange, the Warriors are taking back Marcus Smart, who's making $21.5 million on an expiring deal, and a 2026 first round pick. And on the screen, I have it being from The Philadelphia trade, where it's the worst of a pair of teams. But it could very likely be that top 20 protected Warriors pick. You could exchange those two. They're kind of interchangeable. I don't really know which asset Golden State would covet the most. But nonetheless, it's a future one from one of those teams plus Marcus Smart. Again, this is a move where I think Marcus Smart fills a need for the Warriors. I think getting some guard depth behind Steph Curry, who's had injury issues the past couple of years with those ankles and the calf in the playoffs, certainly fills a position of need there for Golden State. The contracts work themselves out. In this deal, Kuminga would have to take about $1 million less the first year and then make it back in the next couple of years just to make the contracts work, so the Wizards don't have to send out future salary. But if you're the Wizards, you're trading one of the future ones that you got from that pool trade, but you're basically exchanging, a 25-year-old Jordan Poole, who is set to make $30 million this year and next year for Kuminga. If it's a 3-year deal, you're basically paying one extra year of Kuminga for $30 million, and he's that much younger and I believe has more potential and could be a better fit in this system. That's a deal that I think could make sense. Now, if you're the Warriors in this trade, you probably want more, and this is just kind of a general framework. And if the Warriors, let's say, come back to the Wizards and go, we want a younger player. We like that you're giving us a first, whether it's our own top 20 first protected back in 2030, or it's some other first that you are giving us. And we like Marcus Smart because the salaries work. He's an expiring deal and fills a position of need, but we just need a little bit more. I introduce you the little bit more. And that's if the Wizards, you're still getting Kuminga on roughly the same deal. You're still sending out Smart and one of your future first from another team, but you're also attaching AJ Johnson. And I know Wizards fans are not going to like this. A lot of Wizards fans view AJ Johnson very, very highly. But again, Marcus Smart isn't a part of this team's future. He's an expiring contract. And again, the Wizards are probably going to trade him at some point anyway, so you shouldn't be too attached. I don't think many Wizards fans would be too upset to see Marcus Smart get traded if it meant bringing Kuminga in. And I understand, AJ Johnson has a lot of potential. He certainly does. But at the end of the day, if you're asking me, would I rather have Jonathan Kuminga on a multi-year deal at 22 years old, or would I rather have AJ Johnson, Marcus Smart, and what will probably be a late first-round pick? I'm going to take Jonathan Kuminga every day of the week. And honestly think that the move on your screen might be too weak of a proposal for Golden State. I mean, I don't know how much they like AJ Johnson. I know around the league, he's viewed as a decent trade chip. He showed potential. But again, maybe Golden State also wants a guy like Dylan Jones that the Wizards could package in. But this is another possible deal that sort of fits the criteria of what Golden State is looking for. They're looking for a future one, and the Wizards are sending that to them, in this trade. They're looking for a young player, which AJ Johnson is a young player with potential. And they're looking for, obviously, contracts to match. And Marcus Smart is an expiring contract to match that also fits a position of need, brings some veteran leadership to an already, old veteran team, but certainly has championship pedigree to sort of help Golden State for the next year, at least on that contract. So this is a move that I think checks every box. And if you're sitting here and saying, this just isn't enough, it doesn't move me if I'm the Warriors, maybe it doesn't, but you have Kuminga here. I don't know what you're looking to do here. I don't know if Kuminga really wants to sign back with Golden State. He wants $30 million per year, and if the Wizards are willing to offer him that in restricted free agency, I don't think the Warriors want to match it. So the best they can do is kind of work with another team on a potential sign and trade. Devin Carter certainly is a better prospect than AJ Johnson. But again, maybe, a future one from Sacramento doesn't hold as much weight as, the Wizards giving back the Warriors their top 20 protected 2030 pick that they can then use in future trades. So that's certainly, I think, the biggest trade chip for the Wizards is the ability to give that freedom back to the Warriors to trade future picks if they want to upgrade their team and roster at the deadline or throughout their offseason, for that matter. AJ Johnson is a solid, promising player that they sort of, want in trade negotiations. Smart makes it work, position of need. So this is, kind of the framework that the Wizards can at least offer. And whether you think it's enough or not from a Warriors perspective, that's your opinion. All I'm saying here, not that I would accept this if I'm Golden State, is that this is the Wizards' probably best package that checks every box. And so that's kind of the framework with the Marcus Smart trade. And I kind of showed at the beginning, but this would be the framework of a Corey Kispert trade. And I think Corey Kispert, honestly, is a better trade piece just because he's a lot younger than Smart. Didn't have the greatest season last year. But again, I think is still a capable shooter in a system like Golden State where shooters, you know, seem to thrive. I think Corey Kispert could do quite well there. Now it would, because Kispert doesn't make as much as Smart, if you're going to also package Corey Kispert with AJ Johnson and one of your future ones to Golden State, Kuminga's contract will look a bit different. He would only be able to make around $24.5 million in the first year. And then obviously you can do an ascending value contract where he's making like 28 in year two, then 30, then 32, something like that. So the Corey Kispert trade makes it a bit wonky just because the salary is a little bit tougher to match, certainly. But I do think that maybe the Warriors covet a player like Kispert that can help them, you know, in the now. And then you obviously have your AJ Johnson or Dylan Jones, two players that I think could be in a package for the Wizards. And I will say, like, while Golden State does want a promising young player, and while maybe Sacramento is comfortable giving up a guy like Devin Carter, who they just took in the lottery a year ago, I don't know if the Wizards are willing to do that. They certainly wouldn't give up Bob Carrington. They certainly wouldn't give up Alex Saar. And I really doubt they'd give up Keyshawn George after the year he had on defense last year. So I don't think any of those guys would be in the equation. You know, they won't give up Bilal Coulibaly. That wouldn't make much sense. Obviously, none of their picks from this previous year are likely to be included. So again, this is kind of where the Wizards are at. And it's clear that there are talks ongoing, and they're a strong contender, as reports indicate. Something that's gained real momentum. So again, I would assume that what they're offering holds some weight to the Warriors, you know, and Golden State isn't necessarily negotiating from a position of power. Let's remember that, you know, what are they going to do? Just say, hey, you know, we're not going to work with you on a sign and trade unless you give us everything we want. Then teams will just back out. This is going to give Golden State maybe some financial flexibility. You know, instead of paying Kuminga $30 million over the next couple of years, you know, you could just take back expiring salaries in Smart, you know, a cheap rookie deal in Johnson, and then you have flexibility for the foreseeable future. You can make some trades at the deadline with the extra cap you have. If you get your own 2030 pick back, that's also good. So I think the Wizards definitely have some enticing trade chips for Golden State to consider. And I honestly think that, you know, if the Warriors are to trade Kuminga, which I think is probably the most likely scenario, the Wizards just got to outbid some of the other teams. And if Sacramento, you know, is only willing to give up Devin Carter and a one, and, you know, maybe Golden State is also looking for someone that can help them now, and Sacramento doesn't want to give up a guy like Keon Ellis or Keegan Murray or some of the other players that they have on their roster, then maybe it's possible that the Wizards can swoop in with whatever package they could put together, whether it's with Kispert and Johnson and a future one, whether it's a Smart Johnson, a future one, whether it's just Smart and a future one, I don't really know. But based on Anthony's reporting at The Athletic, the Wizards have some of the pieces to sort of get talks going on a potential Kuminga trade. And that's kind of the reason for this pod. And again, I'll clarify, because I'll probably get some comments saying these trades suck. These are just the framework of certain trades. I'm not necessarily in the know as to what Golden State specifically wants. And again, these are just preliminary reports from The Athletic. But should, you know, these talks have some serious life, these are a couple of trades, that the framework of some trades that I think, you know, could possibly put Washington in an advantageous spot to land a guy like Kuminga. And if they get Kuminga, you know, that's a piece that does fit their timeline. You know, a lot of the talk in Washington is about timeline, but it's also about creating that cap flexibility for 2026 and beyond. Now, this would eat into it, probably $25 to $30 million in 26 and probably 27, possibly 28 as well. But again, if the Wizards think Kuminga could be a guy they view as a possible one or two option on a contending team, then maybe they bite the bullet and they make it. It would be a bold move for sure, because he's had his ups and downs at Golden State. But again, you know, he showed he can get it done in the playoffs too. You know, multiple 20-plus point games in the playoffs, was really their best player in that Minnesota series in the last three games when Steph went down. So clearly he's able to do it, you know, against the best of the best in the playoffs. So I really don't have too many concerns about, you know, Kuminga, the player. I see the vision. I see the potential. You know, a guy that can get to the rim with the best of them, needs to develop a shot, but certainly doesn't you know, strike me as a non-Will Dawkins player. Has a lot of upside still, 22. So if the Wizards, you know, make a bold move and these reports, you know, turn out to be true, then that's certainly, you know, something to certainly consider. You know, this would be a pretty bold move from Will Dawkins. But again, I think I'd like it. I think I'd be able to understand it. I respect it. And the Wizards can continue to put together a pretty solid core of wings. You know, they would have a pretty crowded wing census on the team. You know, Kuminga would join Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Will Riley, who they just drafted, Jameer Watkins, who they already had. You obviously have, you know, a player like Chris Middleton, who will be in Washington at least for this season. So certainly a pretty crowded wing rotation. But if you can have 22-year-old in Kuminga and all you're giving up is you know, expiring salary and Smart, the Warriors 2030 top 20 protected pick, that would, you know, it's going to be from 21 to what, 30 if it conveys. And if it doesn't, then I think it turns into a second in 2030 or 2031. So it's really not the greatest asset, but it's also a better asset for the Warriors than the Wizards. So you give that asset up and you give up AJ Johnson. But you're basically swapping, you know, who would you rather have, AJ Johnson or Jonathan Kuminga? You'd have Jonathan Kuminga every day of the week. I don't care if he's making $25-30 million. He's the way better player with a lot higher of a ceiling. So again, I don't want to ramble on too much because there's not too much to talk about here. There's not too much reporting, and I'll continue to follow the story as it moves on. But certainly intriguing. And I just saw this. I'll add it real quick. According to the Athletic's report, the Warriors balked at the Kings' offer of Devin Carter, Dario Saric, and 2 second-rounders for Jonathan Kuminga. So again, maybe that's because they didn't like the player in Saric fit on their team, and they wanted someone else. Like maybe Marcus Smart is more enticing. Maybe they wanted a future one, and Sacramento wasn't willing to give up a future one, and that's why they gave up only 2s in that potential trade. But again, the overarching theme of this pod is that, you know, if the Warriors, if it's true that the Warriors want, you know, salary filler, a young player with promising talent and a future one, the Wizards can check all those boxes. But also in Marcus Smart, if that's the player, giving them a nice rotation piece with championship experience that fills a need for them at the guard position. So, you know, certainly could see more development in the near future. I think Kuminga would be a fun add to the Wizards. Would be pretty expensive. I think $30 million is way too much for Kuminga, but I would see the vision. I would get it. Not sure this is the move that the Wizards need to make. I think they're pretty okay if they don't decide to bite on this, but it would be a bold move. And if they like Kuminga that much, I should actually end on this. Like if they make this move, and they pay him the $30 million, they clearly do like him enough to be like, hey, we made all these, you know, moves to clear our books for the future. But we're going to kind of undo a little bit of it. And we're going to give one of those big contracts to Kuminga. And I will say, for all the people that might hate on trading for Kuminga, and especially at giving him that much money, I'll remind you of the fact that when I tweeted out the Wizards had all that cap space in 2026, which would be $110 million, the main gripe with that was that the Wizards have never been able to attract big-name free agents. And so maybe they're kind of sitting here and saying, you know, the only way we might be able to do that and to fill that salary cap is via trade. So why not get a young 22-year-old, you know, potentially budding star, you know, use $30 million of that, you know, $110 million you're projected in cap in 2026. And that way you can get one of those potential stars via trade versus trying to recruit them on the open market, which, you know, as we've seen in recent history, it has been pretty difficult for Washington for whatever reason. So that's another reason I would be able to get behind the move. I would actually like the move. So we'll see what happens in the coming days with the development on Kuminga. Certainly follow Anthony V. Slater on Twitter. He's plugged into the Warriors, covers him for the Athletic. He's going to have most of the reporting there. Again, I'm just kind of regurgitating some of his reports, so I don't want to aggregate too much of the story. There's a lot more details in there, so be sure to check out his story. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Comment down below what you think of some of the trade packages I offered, if you think the Wizards and Kuminga would be a good fit. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll be back, I believe, Saturday or Sunday. My guy Matt Moderno is joining me for a draft recap and off-season recap to this point. pod. So be sure to look out for that. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Go Wiz.